Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Holy Spirit's Presence, Accessing God's Power by Acknowledging Our Weakness, presents A.W. Tozer's distinctive call to a deeper, more Spirit-dependent Christian life. Drawing on themes Tozer is widely known for, reverence for God, spiritual hunger, and the danger of self-reliance, the book argues that true power is not produced by stronger personalities or better techniques, but received through surrender. The central idea is both simple and confrontational. Believers often try to live the Christian life in the strength of the flesh, while the Holy Spirit's empowering presence is most fully welcomed when we admit our limitations and yield control. Rather than offering a formula, the book emphasizes posture, humility, repentance, and ongoing attentiveness to God. It invites readers to examine the motives behind their ministry, worship, and private devotion, and to replace spiritual self-confidence with childlike dependence. The result is a focused encouragement to seek God Himself, not merely spiritual experiences or outcomes. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, weakness as the doorway to spiritual power. A major theme is the paradox that God's strength is most clearly displayed when human strength is laid down. The book presses readers to reconsider weakness, not as a disqualifier, but as a spiritual advantage when it leads to humility and dependence. In this framework, weakness becomes an honest confession that we cannot manufacture love, holiness, courage, or lasting joy by willpower alone. Tozer's perspective challenges the modern instinct to hide limitations behind activity, competence, and religious performance. Instead, the book presents a pathway where admitting need becomes the beginning of authentic spirituality. This is not a celebration of passivity or excuses. Rather, it is a call to stop substituting self-reliance for faith. The practical implication is that prayer shifts from attempting to persuade God to acknowledging reality before God. Ministry shifts from personal charisma and methods to spiritual reliance. Worship shifts from emotional stimulation to reverent encounter. By treating weakness as a place where God meets the surrendered heart, the book reframes what it means to be strong. Strength is obedience empowered by the Holy Spirit, not merely personal capacity. Readers are invited to embrace honesty, repentance, and ongoing yielding as the doorway to God's presence and power. Secondly, the Holy Spirit as indwelling presence, not an occasional boost. The book emphasizes the Holy Spirit not merely as a doctrine to affirm, but as the living presence of God within the believer. This vision corrects a common tendency to think of spiritual power as something we access only in crisis moments or special religious settings. Instead, the Spirit is presented as the ongoing source of life, guidance, conviction, and transformation. The difference matters because it changes the goal of the Christian life from periodic spiritual highs to steady communion with God. Within this approach, spiritual maturity is measured less by intensity and more by faithfulness and sensitivity to the Spirit's leading. Readers are encouraged to consider the ways distraction, cherished sin, and self-rule can dull spiritual perception. The book suggests that if the Spirit is grieved or resisted, the result is not necessarily dramatic failure, but a gradual loss of warmth, clarity, and power. Conversely, when believers cultivate reverence, obedience, and a listening heart, the Spirit's presence becomes more evident in character, prayer, and love for others. The book pushes beyond abstract language by stressing that the Spirit's work is relational, drawing the believer into fellowship with God that reshapes inner life and outward action. Thirdly, surrender, repentance, and the end of self-rule. Another key topic is surrender as the practical center of Spirit-filled living. The book confronts the subtle ways people attempt to keep control while still asking God for blessing. It argues that the Holy Spirit's empowering presence is not added on top of an unchanged self-directed life, but welcomed where the will yields to God. That surrender includes repentance, not only from obvious wrongdoing, but also from hidden pride, spiritual ambition, and the desire to be seen as capable. The book's logic is that the Spirit does not merely assist our plans, He reorders our loves, priorities, and decisions. Repentance, then, is not limited to a one-time event, but becomes a continuing posture of returning to God whenever self-rule reasserts itself. The reader is invited to examine what is being protected, reputation, comfort, control, or habits that quietly compete with obedience. In this model, surrender is intensely practical. It affects speech, relationships, money, time, and private thought. The book frames surrender not as loss, but as liberation from the exhausting effort of self-salvation. When the heart stops negotiating and begins to obey, the Spirit's work becomes less resisted, producing a life marked by clarity, peace, and power that aligns with God's purposes rather than personal agendas. Fourthly, cultivating sensitivity. Through prayer, scripture, and reverence, the book highlights spiritual practices not as mechanical techniques, but as means of attentiveness to God. Prayer is portrayed as more than requests. It is communion that exposes the soul, aligns the will, and keeps the believer dependent. Scripture functions not as information alone, but as the Spirit-used instrument for correction, renewal, and guidance. Reverence is stressed as a missing ingredient in shallow spirituality, reminding readers that the Holy Spirit is not a tool for success, but the Holy God present with His people. This approach encourages readers to slow down and recognize how noise, hurry, and constant stimulation can make spiritual life superficial. The book implies that sensitivity to the Spirit grows where there is quietness, honest confession, and willingness to obey what is revealed. It also warns against substituting outward religious activity for inward fellowship. The point is not to withdraw from responsibilities, but to engage them from a centered life. When prayer and scripture become the daily atmosphere of the soul, the believer is less driven by moods and more responsive to conviction and guidance. The book's practical takeaway is that the Spirit's presence is often recognized in steady formation, purified motives, softened conscience, increased love, and an awakened sense of God in ordinary moments. Lastly, authentic Christian living versus religious performance. A recurring concern is the difference between genuine spirituality and religious performance. The book critiques the temptation to measure spiritual health by visibility, activity, or emotional impression. Instead, it points toward inner reality, humility, obedience, integrity, and love empowered by the Spirit. This theme challenges both private believers and public leaders, since performance can thrive even when the soul is dry. The book suggests that religious success can become a substitute for God Himself, leading to dependence on methods, reputation, or crowd approval. In contrast, a Spirit-led life seeks God's pleasure first, even if it brings hiddenness, slower growth, or misunderstood choices. The focus returns repeatedly to the heart, motives behind service, the desire for recognition, and the willingness to be corrected. The Spirit's presence is portrayed as producing fruit that cannot be faked for long: patience under pressure, purity in secret, generosity without applause, and courage to obey when it costs. Readers are invited to test their spiritual life by what happens when no one is watching, when plans fail, or when strength runs out. The promise held out is that abandoning performance for honesty makes room for God's transforming power and a faith that endures. In conclusion, this book is best suited for Christians who sense a gap between belief and lived experience. Believers tired of striving, leaders wary of ministry driven by personality, and seekers who want more than religious routine. It will especially benefit readers who are willing to face uncomfortable questions about self-reliance, hidden pride, and the way spiritual life can become performance. By emphasizing acknowledgement of weakness, it offers a practical shift from managing spirituality to receiving life and power through dependence on the Holy Spirit. That shift can change daily habits, making prayer more honest, obedience more immediate, and relationships more patient and gracious. Compared to many books that focus on techniques for success, this work leans into Tozer's classic strength, calling people back to God Himself with seriousness and reverence. The value is not a set of hacks, but a recalibration of the heart, aiming at enduring transformation rather than short-lived inspiration. If you want a spiritually demanding devotional-style guide that presses for surrender and authentic communion, it is worth buying because it keeps the focus on the Holy Spirit's presence as the source of real Christian power, not on human ability or religious activity. If you would like to support AWW Tozer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.